Exodus chapter 3. You know, before God can tell you what you need to know, God has to get our attention focused. He has to get our attitude fixed. And He has to get us to the point where our abilities are forgotten. Has to be all about Him. What a process of coming to a man of 80 years of age, getting ready to ask him to do what would appear to be an impossible task. You would think it would be impossible for a man 40 years old to do something like this. Here's a man that, as kind of on the back end, he thought of his life. He was tending his father-in-law's sheep. He was a man that had murdered an individual in Egypt 40 years before that. And now he was just kind of living the calm life, the slow life, the relaxed life, and was leading these sheep that were owned by his father-in-law, and kind of went from what you would almost call prince and could have been there in Egypt to now he was basically a hired sheep herder, a shepherd. Little did he know what God was getting ready and who God was getting ready to ask him to shepherd. This whole calling process is quite interesting, and I'm not going to rehash everything that we've gone through, but I will tell you this, that there are some things that you and I need to know when God tells us to go. You say, are we getting to those things yet? Almost. Almost. Next Sunday, we're kind of really going to get down to the nitty-gritty, as you would say. But today, we've got something else that God had to make sure that Moses had straight before he could tell him the specific things that Moses needed to know. I want you to look, if you would, in God's Word, Exodus chapter 3. And as we look at it today, I want to encourage you to ask God, God, what is it out of this that you want to share in my heart today? And what is it that you're trying to tell me? Notice in Deuteronomy, Exodus chapter 3, I'm getting all confused and verklempt here. I had in my notes that I wanted to encourage you to be here tonight. We're going to continue in our Fixer Upper series, and we're going to be dealing with Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you want to do any pre-reading, I'm sure you love to do that on a Sunday afternoon as you're laying there in your recliner watching football. What you really feel like doing is to pre-read for the sermon that night. All right, Exodus chapter 3, look at verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Pray that you'd help us today. We always need you. Please, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God had just spoken to Moses out of the burning bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And Moses stopped and was amazed and turned around to hear what God himself had to say. As we began last week, just the first couple, we said first, if you'll notice in verse 7, that God said, I have seen. And what did he particular say he had seen? He had seen the affliction of my people. God sees it all. He sees you. He knows exactly what you're going through. Notice secondly in verse 7, God says, I have heard. And specifically, he said, I've heard their cry. And God can hear yours too. I want you to notice the third thing I see in chapter 3 and verse 7. If you'll notice this, as Moses finally turns around, God has gotten his attention focused. He's got his attitude fixed. And now he is going through the process of letting Moses see his abilities and his own earthly abilities as forgotten. You and I will never do what God has called us to do in our own energy and in our own ability. We're going to need God to do it. Notice what he says at the end of verse 3. He said, I've seen, I've heard, and notice the end of verse 3, I know. What did God tell Moses that he knew? He says, I know their sorrows. Remember now, for 400 years, The children of Israel have been crying out to God, living in slavery and in bondage in Egypt, and they felt that God had not heard them and that God had forgotten them and that God didn't know what they were going through, and maybe God has just left us. Maybe God's never going to come back and help us. And as God calls to Moses out of that burning bush, as he was getting ready to ask Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, he said, there's some things that you've got to know first, and it's this, that I have seen their affliction. I've heard their cry. But even more importantly, I know their sorrows. And God knows yours, by the way. Now listen to me. I want you to get this. When God said, I've seen their affliction, he means that's what comes from the outside. When God said, I've heard their cry, it means that's what they have said on the outside. But when God said, I know their sorrows, God is saying, I know how they feel on the inside. See, it's one thing to see what an individual is going through, but it's another thing to know how they feel. You see, as a pastor, I see some of the things that you go through. And some of you with your friends at church and people and family, you see what they go through. But let's be honest, oftentimes we really don't know the sorrow that they feel. Now, I went down to Florida this week, and the plan was to bring my dad back. And you see, Dad's not here. And I had it. I left. I just couldn't take it anymore. And I dropped him off somewhere in Georgia. I don't know where it was. The car's back, but he's not. No, I'm just joking. It kind of unexpected. Dad got an opportunity, asked to preach in Live Oak, Florida today. And a pastor was on vacation, and so Dad stayed to do that. And I don't know exactly when he'll come back, but I spent the week kind of getting handicap accessible stuff there set up in his house and different things as he's going to stay there. And anytime he's there, that way he has these things in place and some things that needed done. And, you know, you have the week with them and you talk about things. And let me say this, you know, when my mom passed away, I miss her. I miss her every day. I have my own sorrow connected to that. But I don't know how my dad feels about it. Now, I have watched him go through it, and I can imagine how bad it is. But when you sit and talk to an individual, every once in a while, you'll get pieces to a puzzle that lets you know you really have no clue what they're going through. God looks at Moses, listen, you got to get this. When I send you on this task, Moses would never finish this task if he didn't know from the start that God knows how he felt. And these people will never follow me, Moses, unless they understand that I've not just seen what they've gone through and I've not just heard what they've said, but I know how they feel. The Bible says that Jesus would be a man of sorrows. We have a high priest, the Bible says, that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You're going to have a long life if you're looking for somebody to know how you feel. People aren't going to know how you feel, but God does. God says, Moses, I know their sorrows. Notice the next thing in verse 8 as he continues. Look at verse 8. He says this, and I am come. He said, I've seen, I've heard, I know, and guess what? I'm here. I am come. Amen. Dear friend, I'm here to tell you, sometimes you might wonder what's going on, why God hadn't done what you think God should do, and you might feel like there's seasons that God's not hearing me and he's not answering my prayer and all that stuff, but you listen, you need to calm down. You need to know something. Before God can use you greatly, before God can call you to do great things in your life, you have to know that God does see, that God does hear, that he does know, and he will show up. He said, I am come. Notice the first thing he says. I want you to see the direction. He said, I'm come down. I'm come down. When you and I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Aren't you glad that he doesn't demand that we come up to him? Aren't you glad that he came down to us? He said, I am come down. Think of a song my mom and I used to sing, Down from His Glory. He's above us. He's over us. But He came down to us. It's amazing that a high and holy God would come down to sinful man. You see, dear friend, you and I need to understand, anytime God comes to us and comes to help us and is there for us, it's always the fact that he came down.
Right.
Notice this, not just the direction, but notice second, the deliverance. He said, let me tell you why I'm come down. He said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians.
Right.
I am come, first, the direction, I'm come down. Second is the deliverance, I'm come down to deliver. This wasn't going to work if Moses thought that he had to deliver. This wasn't going to work if Moses thought that because of his ability or somehow he had to be good enough or he had to be great enough to bring those people out of bondage to do the work. God needed Moses to know, Moses, I'm come and I'm the one that's going to deliver.
Yeah.
Dear friend, you and I don't do it.
Yeah. Right.
God doesn't expect us to do it.
Right.
God comes down and he's the one that does the work. Somewhere along the way, if you and I begin to think that we're the ones having to deliver.
Yeah.
If you're working in a ministry here and you think you're the one that has to build a bus route, you got it wrong.
Yeah, right.
If you think you're the one that has to build a Sunday school class, you've got it wrong.
Right.
Let me say this, by the way. This is our first day of Sunday school classes, and there's always a nightmare when you add anything new to a Baptist church. Years ago, when I first got here and we started changing the auditorium, some of you wouldn't recognize it if you saw it when we first came. This was all old wood paneling up here and all the different things. And with these windows, we framed all of these windows out with that white molding you see on these windows. And we had people that had been in this church 30 years that would just argue with you that that's always been there. Like, no, we just added that. No, it's always been that way. No, it hasn't. They just spent 3 weeks doing it. No, they've always been there. It's always been like that. Let me tell you something. If you think it's your job to convince people, you're wrong. God's the one that's come down. God's the one that's shown up. God's the one that's here. God's the one that delivers. Moses needed to know that before we go any further. Moses, I don't need your ability. I don't need your talent. I don't need what you can do. I need you to let me do what I do. And just let me do it through you. Anybody getting convicted yet this morning? Anybody want to say, you know what, preacher, I need that today. I need that today. Let me tell you something. You can't build that family. You can't change those children. God's going to have to do it. He said, I am come. First, the direction. I've come down. Second, the deliverance. Notice third, the dwelling. He said, I am come down. And why did he come down? Notice the three things he says first. And I love this. Look at this verse. To bring them up out. First thing God says, listen, I'm come and I'm going to deliver. And when I deliver, first thing I'm doing, I'm bringing you out.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens when you and I get saved? We are brought out of the bondage of sin.
Amen.
We're taken out of one family and we're put into a new family. We're taken out of the earth kingdom and we're put into the heavenly kingdom.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
We're taken out of the darkness and put into the light. Do I need to keep going?
Amen.
God said, first, I'm bringing them out. And that's what he's done for you if you've been saved. Dear friend, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I want to let you know something. God wants to bring you out of that mess. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have difficulty. It doesn't mean you're still not going to face things in your life. But God's shown up to deliver you. Jesus came and died and rose again to deliver you, to bring you out of that bondage of sin. He said, I'm going to bring you out. It means this, I have a better place for them. I'm not going to let them stay where they're at. I got something better. Now, I'm not trying to be mean and unkind, and please don't think I'm jumping on this horse like a lot of preachers do. But every once in a while, I'll go by somewhere and there'll be a sign, you know, at a church or whatever, come as you are.
Right.
Listen, you ought to come as you are here at this church too.
Right. Yes.
But I don't think it's right to leave as you were.
Right.
Hey, listen, a church ought to be the place where you come as you are, but you leave different.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Because Jesus, not because the pastor,
right,
not because the music.
Right.
Hey, music's a dime a dozen nowadays.
Yeah.
Hey, preachers, you can get on the internet and listen to anybody you want to preach if you want to.
Right.
But if God's brought you to this church, listen, God didn't bring you to church just for you to come as you are and leave as you were. He brought you to a church so that you could come and he could bring you out. God says, I got something better for you. I've got a better place. I've got a better life. I've got a better hope. I've got better dreams. I've got better things. I've got better plans. I've got a better future for you. Why would we be content to stay where we were? God wants to bring us out. Notice, secondly, God says, I want to bring you up. I'm the only one getting excited about this, but just leave me alone, all right? Don't rain on my parade. Look at this verse. To bring them up out of the land. To bring them up out of the land. God says, I'm going to bring you out, but I'm going to bring you up. God always takes you to a higher place. God's saying, Moses, I know those people right now are at a low place in their life. They've been serving under bondage in Egypt for all these hundreds of years. I know they're at a low place, but I'm not just going to bring them out. I'm going to bring them up. I'm not just going to bring them out of that bondage. I've got something higher and better to bring them up. Notice, thirdly, he said, unto. Notice the verse. To bring them up, out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Did you hear that? God says, I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to bring you up, but I've got somewhere I'm taking you to. I've got a plan. God always takes us not just to a higher place, but to a better place. Notice the verse. He says, I've got a good land to take you to. I've got a large land to take you to. In fact, I've got a land right now that's flowing with milk and honey. My blessing is there. My provision is there. Oh, dear friend, let me tell you something. Before you can do what God's called you to do, you and I have got to understand, as he did with people, that the only reason we can do anything is because God has brought us out, he's brought us up, and he's taken us to a new place, a better place, a better land. Oh, let me tell you something. I know there's a lot of fun things to do in the world. Listen, there's a lot of things to entertain you in the world. There's a lot of things to entertain you in church. But look, I want you to get this. There's no land better. There's nothing better than the blessings of God. There's nothing better than those things which come from Almighty God. Notice what God says next. And I love this. Look at verse 10. And I know you know I love it. Remember what God has said. He said, Moses, I've heard, I've seen, I know, I am come. Notice verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will what? Send. I've heard, I've seen, I know, I'm come, and now I'm going to send. Isn't that a loving God? You know what? I've done all this for you, so this is what I want. I want you to do this for me. I didn't do all this for you just to sit and enjoy all these things. I did this so that you will now serve me. I'm going to send you, but I've told you all these things because I want you to know as I send you that I'm the one that's going to do it. I'm the one that's going to deliver them. I'm the one that's going to bring them out, up, and in. I'm the one that's going to do it. So I am going to send, and who does he say he's going to send? Thee. Yeah. Amen. I will send thee. Now, the whole thing just changed. I mean, so far, so good. God says, hey, I've seen everything you've been through. Amen. Hey, I've heard your cry. Thank God for that. I know your sorrows. Oh, that means a lot to me, Lord. I'm come. I'm come down. I'm come to deliver you. Oh, thank you, Lord. And now I'm going to send you. What? Huh? Yeah. Huh? Whoa. Let's back that sermon up. Yeah. Let's cut it off right at that one part. Yeah. What?
Come on, that's good.
Yeah. What? You're going to... Yeah, I'm going to send you. You were excited about all these other things I was doing. You believe in all these other things, right? Yes. You believe I'm able, right? Yes. So I'm going to send you. What? No. No, I got sheep. I got grandkids. He's going to pick them up from school. Who's going to watch them till 5 o'clock? You know, I'm a busy guy. Wait a minute, can't, you know, CNH has a special every Wednesday. What am I going to do here? Wait a minute. I'm just getting to where I get the senior discount. Why are you calling me now? No, I'm going to send you. You know what I have found about good Christian Bible-believing people? We love to hear everything that God is going to do, has done, and can do. But what we don't like to hear is when he asks us to do it. It's a little different then. So Moses automatically has some questions, and I'm sure that you would, and I would also. As Moses takes all this in, I mean, this is a bush on fire. God's speaking out of the midst of it. This is all odd. God gives all these proclamations. And, I mean, this is amazing. And then now God says, okay, I'm going to send you. Notice verse 10. Let's finish it. Look at verse 10. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Where was he wanted for murder? Lord, there's a little incident. If I can explain. He was going 15 in a 45. I didn't know what else to do. So I killed him. You know, Lord, there's a little incident. A little problem. God said, no, I'm sending you. You're sending me. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. Look at verse 10. That thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, I love this whole plan you had before, God, but now you want me involved in it, and now you want me to kind of head it up, going back to the place that's not good memories, not good vibes, not good anything. At my age, at my stage of life, why are you asking me? So he asked some questions. Notice in verse 11. Moses said unto God, who am I? Anybody else here ever felt about something like that when God's asked you to do something? Who am I? I've told you, my first youth activity ever, I'm not going to go through that whole story again. First came to Kerwin. I mean, green as green could be, whatever that means. Like I'm Kermit the Frog or something, I don't know. It's not easy being green. Anyway, okay. Get ready for my first youth activity. I'm going to tell you something. There was just every part of Daniel Hodger that said, who in the world am I? I can't do this. This is way too much. Then you finally get settled, feel like God's using you here, and then God says, hey, I want you to go to full-time evangelism. What? I don't have any meetings. To be an evangelist, you have to have meetings. If you're an evangelist that doesn't have meetings, you're not an evangelist. You're a guy without a job. Who am I? Daniel, it's my will for you to go pastor Kerwin Baptist Church. Who am I? What was Moses saying here when he said, who am I? Well, he was saying, why me? He was saying, isn't there someone else? He was saying, how am I supposed to do this? How can I make this happen? God, is this not maybe a little too much for me to handle? Look at verse 11. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Notice this next question. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Moses says, Whoa, you're sending me? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? I don't have any authority there. I don't have any ability there. Why me? Why am I supposed to do that? And not only that, I mean, when I go back to the children of Israel, and you say you want me to bring them out of Egypt, when I go to them and I say, hey, the reason I'm here is because God told me to come bring you out of Egypt. I mean, I don't have any authority. I don't have ability. Who am I? And I don't have authority. What should I say? Look at verse 12. And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee. We're going to talk about this next week, but as we close this morning, can I give you just a couple interesting things? I feel like I'm probably going to have to just rush a tad through it, but I want to go ahead and do this morning. As Moses says, all right, God, what is it I'm supposed to say? Look at verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. In other words, God lets Moses know first who he is. And then after that, he says, Now this is what you tell them. You're not going to tell them something if you're not convinced. If you don't believe it, they're not going to believe it. Moses said, Hey, you know, if you ask me to go do this, and they ask me, well, okay, well, who's the one that's asked you, and who's given you this authority? Moses said, God, what is it I'm supposed to say? And you say, what do you mean? Because Moses literally did not know his name. He just believed in God, but he didn't know if there was a name. And you got to understand, in this day and time, they had gods for everything. The Hebrew children even had other gods. The Egyptians had many gods. Moses says, God, when I go to these people and they ask me, who has sent you? And why should we follow you? And why should we do, Moses, what you're telling us to do? And there, trust me, there would be some people that were still there that knew the past that Moses had. Wait a minute, you did wrong and took off. We're the ones that have been in slavery while you're out there tending sheep. Moses had all these things in his head, and he said, God, what, you know, who am I, and how am I going to do this? God said, I'll be with you. Well, then, you know, what am I going to say? And when they ask who is telling this and who's giving this command, who is it that I tell them that gave the command? And he said, I am that I am. Amen. That's an odd answer. Like, what? He says, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? In Hebrew, this is the name Yahweh. I am. Yahweh. Actually, in Hebrew, there's no vowel. It's YHWH. But it is pronounced Yahweh. If you could think of a Y-A-Y-W-E-H, something like that, that's or Y-A-W-W-E-H kind of a thing. There's a lot of, but that's the way it's not, there's no vowels in the actual word. And it was the name Yahweh. You say, why is this significant? Because God said, if you want to know my name, just call me the I Am. Let me tell you something about Yahweh. Yahweh is the most significant name for God in the Old Testament. And it meant this. It means self-existent. He who becometh, the becoming one. In Hebrew, it had these four letters. And listen to me, I want you to get this. The Jews came to regard this word, this name, Yahweh, with such reverence that they would not even let it on their lips. They were afraid to even say the name Yahweh because it was that special. And they were afraid if they said Yahweh that they might say it wrong and end up literally disrespecting God. So Hebrews, when they read this passage, they don't say Yahweh, they say Adonai. They'll use the name Adonai, but they won't speak the name Yahweh. May I say this, before you can do what God says to do, you have to know who God is. So why did he say, I am that I am? We're going to talk about it next week. Can I challenge you this morning as we continue through this study? Whenever God asks you to do something, there's always going to be questions. Whenever God leads on your heart to do something, there's always going to be that flesh that asks questions. God, this doesn't make sense. God, I know preacher asked me to do such and such, but I just don't think I'm able. I just don't think I have time. I just don't think that I have the ability. God, why me? Why do you want me to do such as? Why do you want me to do this? And Lord, I feel at church sometimes I just think about different ministries that need help, but I'm intimidated by it, and I just this, and I just that, and all these things. The flesh will always have questions. And dear friend, those questions are always centered around self. I don't think I can. I don't have the ability. I want you to get this. What God was telling Moses was that you've got to get your focus off of yourself. And you've got to get it on me. When you and I get our focus on Yahweh, I am, it's no longer about what I cannot do. It's now about what he's able to do.
Yeah, right.
Listen to me. God said, I've seen, I've heard, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. I'm come to deliver. And now I'm sending you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Is God sending you today? Is God asking more of something today from you? Is there something that God is urging your heart about? We love to hear all the good news and all the wonderful promises, but when it comes down to God asking me to do something, what can I do about that? I tell you what we have to do. We have to start getting our focus off of us. Dear friend, if you're here this morning and your head's bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to know that Jesus has come to deliver. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, dear friend, it doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't even matter about your present. God's got a whole new future for you. Would you come? Would you let us show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Dear friend, I'm here to say, maybe today, could you maybe find a place at an altar and say, God, I hear you. I know you're asking me to do something. I know you're pricking my heart about something. And God, I've got questions. And God, please, would you help my questions not to overshadow my faith and trust in you? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I want to ask you to stand all over the building. This is a very important time. Folks shouldn't be rushing to cars. There's nothing more important than going on at this altar. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. God's touched your heart. Would you find a place at the altar today? Would you step out and would you come?